Case up for argument is in the matter of Poriaco. Mr. Grossman.
May it please the Court, my name is Richard Grossman. I represent Eugene Crane, who's the trustee in this case. The controversy here, the occasion for the controversy is a dispute over priority between the trustee and a judgment creditor over the debtor's bank account. The issue arises because the question is whether the trustee is primed by the judgment creditor's service of a citation on the debtor alone. We suggest that this question really has never been answered under Illinois law, and that the case that is closest.
The bankruptcy judge thought it had been answered in Chicago against Air Auto Leasing, which I notice your brief doesn't tackle. Why? What's wrong with the bankruptcy judge's reading of that case?
The bankruptcy judge did cite that case. Cited two other cases that from the Federal District Circuit,
I don't worry about what federal courts have said, since we're trying to figure out the meaning of a state law. Its authentic interpreters are state judges. Bankruptcy judge said that the appellate decision in Air Auto Leasing had answered this question. Now, why in your view is the bankruptcy judge wrong about that?
As I state throughout the brief, there is no case that analyzes this question
I think it's wrong because it's just an unreasoned statement, but it did answer the question?
In the same way that Judge Marshall's opinion said that a bank account is a chosen action. There's no analysis of it. He just utters it.
It's been said for 100 years plus. Let me ask you, Mr. Grossman, if I understand your interpretation of the statute here, your theory would also seem to apply to citations directed to third parties like banks, right? So we're still talking in your logic about, quote, potential chosen action, right?
Yes, I'm asserting that a bank account is a potential chosen action.
So under your theory, even serving a citation, having a judgment creditor serve a citation on a bank, does not give a priority lien on that bank account. Is that right?
No, I'm confused. We cede the validity of the citation that was served on the bank.
But your logic applied to subsection 1 of the statute would seem to apply to subsection 2 as well, right? If all we're talking about is a potential chosen action, right?
Right.
So if that theory is correct, then the kind of property that's not available for a priority lien is bank accounts, which seems like a very improbable result.
The citation that was served on the bank is a valid citation, mm-hmm. creates a lien in favor of the judgment creditor on that bank account.
Personal property in the possession or control of the third party. Is the potential chosen action personal property?
We argue that a contract right itself is not personal property that is owned by the debtor.
Okay, so what you're telling me is the one form of property right that most of us would, let's get away from the label property, but the one source of money that this statute would not reach is bank accounts. And I can't imagine anything that would be more dead in the sights of the legislature for Section 1402 than bank accounts.
What we're arguing is that when the creditor served the citation on the debtor, that that didn't create a lien on the bank account.
I understand your position.
And if they had served the bank first, then that's a lien in favor of the creditor. And
why?
He can.
Why is that any different? Under your theory that this is just a potential chosen action.
Because it's the debtor's job, or the debtor in this case happens to be a depositor, but it's the depositor's job to ask for his money back. So what we're saying is, if I'm a judgment creditor, I can seize whatever I can see out there, right? But what I can't do is serve just the judgment debtor and then say everything that the judgment debtor ever could possibly come into possession of is a lien in my favor. Why? I don't see any problem whatsoever with him serving the bank and saying to every other third party in the world, I have served this bank. This is a lien in my favor right now. I have a judgment against someone, and we say that bank account is now our property to the extent of everyone else in the world, except
it's just a potential chosen action, right?
I don't think the debtor has to the depositor again has to ask for his money back in that scenario. In other words, the judgment creditor can say to a bank, because of the validity of, for instance, garnishments. Garnishments are like that. A owes B, B owes C. A can go directly to C and say, give me the money. But when you serve, when somebody just serves the debtor, how is anyone else supposed to know about that? At least where you have a lien that's been filed and now it's on record that we have a citation proceeding and someone who has a claim against that, other third parties might come in and say, no, I have a prior claim or whatever. But if you just serve the debtor, how's anyone supposed to know about it?
Lost. Why isn't that a problem with serving the bank? This isn't a UCC security interest, which has to be on public file. If you serve a bank, how does the general public get notice?
Well, it's pursuant to a citation hearing. In other words, the procedure in Illinois is you serve a piece of paper called a citation, and you're supposed to then go to court, and there's a hearing where everybody gets to assert their rights.
That happens whether you serve the citation on the judgment debtor or the bank or both. And I had thought from the line of argument you were taking that there was some central place where citations against banks had to be filed as if they were UCC-1 financing statements.
No, there is no such registry. What I'm saying is that actually there's a provision in the statute for, if you read further down, for third parties. I repossess your car, right? And then maybe somebody has a lien on that car, and they can come into court on a replevin proceeding, just like the citation proceeding, and say, no, wait a second, you can't take that car because I have, even though the debtor may own the car, and you have a lien, I have a prior lien. So if I give you $10 and you put it in your pocket, I assume that you all I have from you is a promise to repay me. But how is anybody supposed to know if they just serve me that $10 in your pocket is somehow belongs to the judgment creditor?
Let me ask you too. The bankruptcy court said that if you're right, if a lien on the checking account wasn't created, nothing would stop a judgment debtor from just paying his bills from the checking account until all the non-exempt funds in the account are gone. Why is that wrong?
Well, the second that the debtor asks for his money, then according to the logic here, then it's come due. That's the example we offer. Once you present a check, that's come due.
But if it belongs to the bank and he's got a potential chosen action, why isn't the judgment debtor just telling the bank, give that money to Mr. Grossman? Why does it even return to the debtor?
By asking for it, it's come due under the statute. When you look at it, it's a potential chosen action until you do something. And then when you pick up the phone and direct your banker to pay me, now you've asked for the money. That's all I have when I do.
I still don't see why that makes it a chosen action. It's a potential chosen action in the sense but it matures into a chosen action if the bank ignores your order. But if the bank complies with the order to pay, how does it ever become a chosen action?
Well, you don't have a chosen action until the bank says, I'm not honoring my promise, because that's all you have.
Exactly. Well, that was the point the bankruptcy judge was making. You continue writing checks, and the bank will continue honoring them because there's no lien.
But any time that I write that check, well, I guess it would depend on when the citation hit, because if I've made a demand on the I've written a check. Well, it seems that my time has expired.
You can always answer the question.
Okay. The second that I write a check, the money has come due. And that's what we're saying, that until
okay.
I do that, there's
thank
not...
Thank you, counsel.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Michaels.
Your Honor, may it please the Court. I represent Travis Crowell, the judgment creditor of the bankrupt debtor.
What was the original judgment about?
There was actually a promissory note from Mr. Pareko. I may be mispronouncing that. Mr. Pareko had a note to Mr. Crowell. They had been business partners. They split up the business.
Okay, thank you.
The bankruptcy trustee's argument presented here essentially asks this court to overturn over 100 years of commercial law and to basically unwind personal property law as recognized in Illinois. Mr. Crowell's brief presents a multitude of authorities, including U.S. Supreme Court and treatise writers going back to the 19th century, that would all recognize that a bank account or a deposit account is personal property of the depositor. In this instance, we're asked to adopt a new recognition of personal property, namely an inchoate or potential contract right to your account. Namely, we're asked to say, to recognize that
I think your explanation of the lack of discussion in air auto leasing is just that it's so screamingly obvious that a court wouldn't spend its time on the subject?
Exactly, Your Honor. And in fact, I think, Mr. Crowell's brief, we do raise the point that we did.
Are there other states in which similar statutes have been construed in opinions with more reasoning in them?
I'm not aware of them, Your Honor. But I have not looked into that question.
A question like this has to come up hundreds of times a year, if not hundreds of times a day, for a big bank. Don't you find it surprising that there is so little case law?
No, I don't, Your Honor. I suspect this is a question that arises daily on the 25th floor of the Richard J. Daley Center, where commercial contract claims are.
Exactly. And then every once in a while, a dead dinosaur gets preserved and we find fossils. Every once in a while, one of these legal disputes actually produces an opinion and we find fossils. Why are there no fossils?
I think it's because it's been so long recognized that a depositor's account is a personal property of the depositor, and no one has really raised the question of whether the contract rights that a depositor has against the bank are inchoate or not. It seems so obvious that the rights are established that it borders on the absurdity to try and argue otherwise. In this particular case, regarding auto, Chicago Auto, as cited in our brief, the bankruptcy court was exactly correct. The City of Chicago versus Air Auto Leasing, where it was stated that the citations were served on the respondent both in an individual capacity and a responsible corporate officer. By having the citation served, the city obtained a judgment lien on the defendant's property, including the money in the defendant's checking accounts. I submit to the court that daily citations to discover assets are litigated over in the state courts, and daily the judges have always recognized that this is a lien created by the service of the citation on the depositor against his account. whether the bank is served is irrelevant to the creation of the lien against the depositor or the debtor.
If I understand it correctly, the service on the bank winds up protecting the bank as opposed to the debtor, right? Or the creditor.
Well, it gives the judgment creditor a basis to go after the bank if the bank doesn't honor the service.
It gives notice to the bank.
Exactly. It's a notice matter.
Okay.
So if the bank had actual notice, there would be a different issue in that. But there's been no representation or argument made here that service of the citation on the judgment debtor here in any way bars the bank from processing checks until such time as it's been served. And with, in conclusion, Your Honors, it is Mr. Crowell's position here that this case presents no real new question of law for this court to decide, and that the district court and bankruptcy court below should be affirmed. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.